In the name of Jesus, amen. A gospel reading is the basis for our sermon on this Lord's Day. Jesus builds his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And when we say church, we're not talking about Lutheran or Roman Catholic or Methodist or Episcopalian or Presbyterian. We're talking about his church, his people who hold fast to him, no matter what tradition they follow or belong to. Jesus builds his church, and he is at the center of it. And all things radiate out from there because Jesus is his Lord. May he bless the speaking hearing of his word this morning. It doesn't happen to me as much anymore as it used to, but there was a time when the young children of our church and the kids from our preschool, some of them would call me Jesus. Say, "Hi, Jesus." They're like, "There's Jesus." Doesn't happen as much anymore because everybody knows Jesus is not bald and Jesus does not have a white beard. But it used to happen. Now, you know I'm not Jesus. I know I'm not Jesus. And we would gently teach the children, "Oh, yeah, no, that's not Jesus. That's the pastor." But I always took that as a good sign I was doing my job. They were making a connection. They were making a connection between church and Jesus. And in their childlike brains, they were connecting those dots, and they weren't wrong. Because Jesus is at the center of his church. And I took that as a sign that I was doing what I should be doing, and they were getting that. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." God is at work through his word, and through his word he builds his church. And the fascinating thing is that expands to all ages. And it's kind of interesting. Kids want to sit up in front in church. It's the adults that want to sit in the back. Kids, they want to sit up in front. They want to see what's going on. I don't have to tell the kids to sing louder. They just sing. You know, it's the adults that get kind of self-conscious. Like, "Oh, I can't sing." You know, kids never say that. God is at work, and he works his word, and his word is so incredible that it's simple enough for a child to understand. But it's also complex and challenging enough that you, as an adult, can spend your whole life studying God's Word, and you will still keep learning something new. It's transcendent. It's something that man could never have invented. Something so simple and yet so challenging that it spans the course of human ages. All of that is because it's God's word at work. The temptation that people have always had, and we continue to have, is to be a bit dismissive of God's word. "Oh, you know, the Bible, that was written a long time ago. You know, I'm progressive, I'm modern, I'm with it. You know, that book has all that old stuff in it, and, you know, we're a lot more with it today, and we don't want to be those old stick-in-the-mud fuddy-duddies." And people dismiss God's Word. Put it aside. Open it up. Open it up and take a look at it, and you will find timeless truths that are more relevant than perhaps you ever could have imagined, and continue to be. It's a story of salvation for sinners. It's a reminder of direction for those who are wandering, those who aren't sure which way to turn. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they rattle off some names. Some say, "Oh, you're, you know, Jeremiah or John the Baptist or Elijah, one of the prophets." Pretty good company of men to be in. But then Jesus presses a little bit more and says, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus calls Peter blessed. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." In other words, Peter, you didn't figure that out by yourself. God worked that faith in you to believe that. And Peter didn't quite, at that point, understand the full range of what that those words meant. He would get that later on. But the ability to say Jesus is Lord comes from the Holy Spirit. The Lord went on and said to Peter, "I tell you, are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And that's the first time the word church is used in the New Testament. And it's Jesus who gives it definition. He's not saying he's going to build the church on Peter. Peter will have his ups and downs, but he's saying he's going to build his church on that which Peter said is true. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The church is centered in Jesus. Now that might sound obvious, but it's easy to get off track. Our Lord centers the church in himself, but then he gets even more specific. He says his church, the church that he builds, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against, does something. He tells Peter, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now what's that about? Well, later on, we have more scripture that explains that. On Easter Sunday night, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, he says, "Peace be with you." He breathes on them and he says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness, then forgiveness is withheld." So this loosing and this binding, which Jesus talks to Peter about, is the forgiveness of sins. Keys, and we all have keys, do two things. They lock and they unlock. When sins are forgiven, that connection with you and God is unlocked. Heaven is open to you. And on the other hand, when that forgiveness is withheld, when you are not repentant, when you don't want that forgiveness, then that connection with God remains locked. Not because of what God does, but because of what we do. And heaven remains locked. And so Jesus builds his church and tells his church, this is your job, to proclaim to people the forgiveness of their sins. And our church service, it's crammed with forgiveness. We come in, we sing a hymn, and then we make our beginning in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Reminds us of our baptism. That is a reminder of forgiveness. We confess our sins, and the pastor says, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." We get our sins forgiven again. We come to his table where we receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Again and again and again, Jesus reminds us that's what he's about. That in him our sins are forgiven, and that's what builds his church. Regardless of whatever else the church is doing, the church is to be centered in Christ and in the forgiveness of our sins. We are given access into the kingdom of God because of Jesus. The church is given those that authority to forgive sins. You need to listen for that. Whenever you go to a church, whether it's this church or some other church, and I'm going to say any Christian church, and so that would include, you know, your non-denominational churches, your Roman Catholic, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, whatever church. If it's a Christian church, and if it's for a regular worship service, or maybe it's a wedding or a funeral, listen. Listen, do I hear Jesus at the center? And that's a question that even a child could answer. Did I hear about Jesus today? But even more then, you could ask, when I went to church, did I hear that Jesus forgives my sins? That's the job of the Christian church, to announce that forgiveness to God's people, that we might be built into him. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against that. That is something that is solid and firm and secure that you can anchor into, and that is given to you by God's grace and by his mercy. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.